Our Father, we thank you this morning that we can come into your presence and know that you hear and answer our prayers. We just thank you for the wonderful work that's being done through the missionaries. And we do pray for our Slavic missionary service and for Rob Zapotosky and all of those who are working along with him. We just thank you for this great work that is being done. It's wonderful to see all these folks who are being saved and baptized and following you. And we just ask you to continue to bless all that work and help them through this pandemic time and everything that's going on over there as well. We pray that you'll open up the doors so that Rob can go back and encourage them and help them with their finances and all the rest. And we just ask you, Lord, to bless in a very special way today. Bless the message as he brings it in a little while, and may your will be done in all these things. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's see, one more thing I was going to say. As I said, we are privileged to have with us today Rob Zapotosky from the Slavic Missionary Service, and he's going to be singing and bringing the message. Thank you very much.
Lord, for the opportunity to come here. If you don't know who I am, I'm Rob Zapotosky. I'm the director of Slavic Missionary Service, and I'm grateful to the Lord that your church has continued to help Slavic Missionary Service even after Alex went to be with the Lord. I hope that little glimpse, both in Sunday school and at the church, helped you to see, although we are a small organization, the Lord has helped us to really have a broad effect in Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, and Belarus. And so pray for our workers. They are dealing with the same problems in certain areas. The problems are even worse. And I would like to let you know, pray for Belarus that there would be a calming spirit there after their election in August and the protests and everything that's happening. It's getting worse there. And our director there in Minsk told me that on December 26th, they're going to close the borders. So no Belarusian. Now, foreigners can come in and out, but no Belarusian is going to be able to leave Belarus. So any of those that are working in Poland or Germany, some of them will go for 3 or 4 months and they'll come back. That's the only way they can survive. That will no longer be available to them. So please pray for the country of Belarus, that God would somehow bring some kind of peace or calmness there, because they're getting discouraged and depressed again, just like they were under the former Soviet Union. Before I sing, I would like to tell you thank you for the opportunity for me not only to come and share about Slavic Missionary Service, but also about myself. I think it's about 2 years since I've been here, so I'm grateful to the opportunity. I'm glad that the pastor opened up an opportunity. It's very difficult. I haven't been to any American churches since March or April. But I have been able to go to some of the Slavic churches. Even though the congregations were small just like this, it has been wonderful for me to fellowship and to share my gifts, because one of my major gifts is teaching. I teach in the seminaries and the Bible colleges in Ukraine and Belarus, and then I do seminars for our workers. Every time I go there, our workers gather together and we do some type of seminar, and usually we invite some of the leadership in that country also, or in that region. And I have all this information, but I'm not able to share it. So if the service goes for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, you'll understand why, because I have all of this wonderful information bottled up inside me, and I just need to share it with somebody. So no, thank the Lord that I've been able to do a lot on our webpage, smsinternational.org. I've been able to help in the camp where I live, and also I am the designer of our Russian magazine. Of course, that's continued. We do that 4 times a year. So I do still keep busy, but one of my greatest satisfaction spiritually is to help the next generation over in these countries. So pray that God would keep me satisfied and then allow me the opportunity again to work with our brothers and sisters in the Lord in these Slavic countries. I do want to tell you that when I was going through my computer, like a lot of us, we have some downtime or spare time, and I was cleaning up my folders. I am one of those people that likes everything to be accurate, and I have a problem with these people that their whole desktop is just loaded with, you know, documents and pictures. And I said, come on, organize, put it in folders. So I was going through my folders and was deleting and trying to get rid of stuff, and I came across my folder that was my camp folder when I was camp director at the camp where I live now. Before I became full-time with Slavic Missionary Service, I was helping the camp while I was a school teacher, and then God called me full-time to missionary work. And so I was looking, and I found all of these wonderful activities when it rains, and I didn't delete them. And I thought, where did I get these from? Did I make them myself? I just was very surprised, because some of them are quite difficult, so I made copies of them. This one is Bible animals, and of course there's scrambled letters, and you have to fill in the blank. That's one of them. And then there's one that's a Bible word search. It's just a paragraph, and you have to circle where 22 Bible books are. This is very interesting and very hard. These are not for children. That's why I'm wondering. It was probably for the middle group or the teenagers. Here we see occupations, jobs in the Bible. Okay, and that's a scramble word also. And then here you see the search word. But this is not an easy search the word, because you have to fill in the Bible book first before you can find it. Or if you find it and you say, oh, that's what it is, I at least give you the clue of the first letter of the book, G, you know what that is, Genesis, and so on and so forth. So I have all of these, and then I do have a few of them that are easy. Here's Psalm 23. And all you have to do is find the words that are bold. So I'm going to put these on the back for you. I made, I think, enough copies for each one of us to take one, or if you want to take another, to make a copy of it, to send to people. Because during this time, sometimes, how many shows can we watch on TV, right? how many times can we listen to the same music or read the books? We get bored sometimes, so this is just an activity to keep you in God's words. So that's for you. Okay, so now I'd like to share God's word in song. Fill my cup, Lord.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from the well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things afford, but none
can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me oh, my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to him and humbly pray, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. If you have your Bibles, thank you. Thank the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Now, this story is also in the other synoptic gospels, or those gospels that see together. It's also in Matthew and Luke. So I was wondering if there's somebody out there brave enough that would read from Matthew. Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 through 34. Would somebody who has a good voice and a Bible and can read loudly, can you stand and read for us Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 through 34? Can I have a volunteer? Somebody stand up, please. Thank you, brother.
Matthew 20, 30 to 34. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him.
So here we have the story of two blind men that Jesus was going out of Jericho. They heard about him. They cried, "Lord, have mercy." The Lord said, "What do you want me to do?" They said, "We want to see. We want our sight to be restored." And it says here, Matthew said, Jesus was moved with compassion. He touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Now, the other complimentary place is in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Would somebody like to read that for me, please? Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Who is brave enough to stand and... Please. So here Luke only talks about one man, and he says that they are approaching Jericho. And he heard this commotion, and he said, "What is going on? What is happening?" They told him Jesus was coming again. They told him to be quiet. He yelled out, "Still, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "I want to regain my sight." He says, "Receive your sight." Here Luke tells us your faith has saved you. And then he says he regained his sight and everybody glorified God and they gave praise to God. Now let's go to Mark. Now that we've heard from the other two gospel writers the same story, now we'll hear Mark. Now, Mark was probably the first gospel writer. Most Bible scholars or church tradition tells us that Mark was probably written first. He gave us the outline or the chronological story of the ministry of Jesus, and Matthew and Luke followed it. Matthew, it's believed, he also wrote the sayings of Jesus, or he knew about the sayings of Jesus. We call it the Logia, and he included it into his writings. Well, Luke also knew about these sayings and also knew about some other parables. Where he got this information, of course, we know the Holy Spirit helped him, but he probably interviewed many people. So he added some information, and we call these the three synoptic or seen together gospels. Now, it's very interesting. I don't have a lot of time, but I have this bottled up in me, and I have to share it with somebody because I usually share it with those Bible students that are doing New Testament overview. We learn the gospels, and we center on the gospels, and I always ask them, why is there just four gospels? Why wasn't there just three or seven or ten? You know that there are other Gospels, but they're not included in the Bible because they realized that some of the stories were legend, tradition, or they just weren't accurate. But God wanted us to just have four Gospels about Messiah, about Jesus. Why? Isn't that an interesting question? Have you ever thought about it? Do you think there's an answer? Well, I think there is. Some of it is my opinion, but some of it I can prove from the Bible. Four is the number for the earth. We know that the Bible shares numbers in sometimes a symbolic or a type of way that shows it more than just the literal number. We know that because of the number seven in the book of Revelation, right? What does number seven mean? I think we all know this. What does it mean? Perfection or fullness, right? something that's perfect or is in its fullness. We know that from the book of Revelation, because it's a symbol. It's not just talking about a literal seven. Sometimes it's going beyond that literal. And we know that the Bible also talks about that 666. It's got to have some type of symbol. Well, the number four has a symbol too. The number four pertains to the earth, that which is happening on the earth, or that which involves the earth. Think about four in your life. How many directions are there? Four. How many seasons are there? Four. How many major elements are there? I have some young people here, the students, maybe they know. What? How many major elements? Four. Do you know what they are? Fire is one. Earth, wind, water. Very good, young man. Those are the four major elements. So you see, right built within our earth or in the world is the number four. So it pertains to the earth. Where did Jesus come? Did he come to Jupiter or to Mars or to Saturn? No. God sent him to the earth. Isn't that interesting? And then we have these four gospels. Now we can quickly talk about the parable of the sower. How many different types of soil are there? Five or three or two? There's only four types of soil. Isn't that interesting? When the Bible talks about the winds in the earth, how many winds? Four. When God talks about the corners of the earth, how many are there? Four. In the book of Revelation, the living creatures, how many are there? Four. How many faces do they have? Four. Because their work is going to be judgment upon the earth. That works with the book of Zechariah and the book of Ezekiel. One of the courses that I teach is the Minor Prophets, because many of our Bible students don't know what's in the Minor Prophets. They don't really know how to teach practically from them, so I try to help them. It's a homiletic course, and it's usually third year, because it's quite a difficult course. It's 12 books that they have to learn within a week or 2 weeks, because they're module courses. But it's very interesting. Isn't that interesting about the number four? And then I'm going to give you my opinion quickly. I'm going to try to quickly work through this. I know it's already 12, but I hope you give me another 10 or 15 minutes to share from God's Word. But isn't it interesting that we have three synoptic gospels and one that's almost all different? Three in one. What is that? That's the Trinity, isn't it? And then think about directions. If I look forward, I've got the Gospel of Mark. He shares the character of Messiah Jesus. And then I go to the right and I have the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew gives me new information about Messiah Jesus, but his peripheral vision still sees the same that's in the book of Mark, so he gives me a lot what's in the book of Mark. And then I turn to the other direction, to the left, and I have the Gospel of Luke. He gives me brand new information, but his peripheral vision still shares the same that's in the Gospel of Mark. So you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Three different directions, but some of the material is similar. But when I want to turn my head completely around to see what's behind, can I do that? I can't do it. You're right. You shook your head. I can't do it. I have to completely turn around and see all new information. That's the Gospel of John. Is that interesting? From every direction, we have the character of Messiah, because the people had to know who he was going to be. And so from every direction, they show us who Jesus is. Three of them are similar because I can move my head in those different directions and have that information. But to get the other direction, I've got to completely turn around. That's the Gospel of John. So now we're in the Gospel of Mark. I hope that you enjoyed that little tidbit of information, some my opinion. You don't have to pay me any extra. That's free. But I hope that it excites you, that it shows us how the Bible all works together, because the Bible is a living book. It's not a dead history book. It's living. So now let's read in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Let's read what Mark has to say about this story, too, because he was probably the first one that wrote this story, and it's very interesting that he gives us some information that Matthew and Luke do not give us. And they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Isn't this interesting? Now, Mark only gives us one beggar or one blind man, just like Luke. But Matthew gave us two. Why? Is there a discrepancy? Is there a mistake? No. You see what happened when I asked if somebody would read the scriptures. What happened? Matthew gives us the story. There were these two men. They both wanted to see. But one of them was a little more brave. One of them was a little more aggressive. And he shouted a little bit louder. And he wanted attention from Jesus more than his friend. But of course, he wanted his friend to be helped also. Because you saw what happened. I said, can somebody brave? And did you see? Oh, I had to wait a few seconds. And then people were looking around. And of course, some of you looked down. Oh, I hope he doesn't call on me. The pastor was looking around. Oh, I hope somebody in the congregation will read. I don't want to have to do it, but I will if I have to. Oh, this is what happened with the two. But Luke and Mark center on the one who was more aggressive or the one who was brave. And Mark gives us his name because either Mark or Peter knew who this beggar was. We understand that Mark probably gives us the words or the preaching or expressions of Peter. This is what Bible tradition or the church fathers tell us. So either Peter knew who this man was or Mark knew who he was. And it's very interesting that Mark is the one that says they came to Jericho and as he was going out from Jericho. Because Luke tells us that they were approaching Jericho and Matthew says they were coming out of Jericho. Oh, another mistake. No, Mark tells us both here. He says they came to Jericho and as he was going out from Jericho. You know why? Oh, it's wonderful what archaeology does for the Bible. People said this was a mistake, but then the archaeologists found out that there's not just one Jericho. There's two Jerichos. The original Jericho was built again, but then it was destroyed. You know the history with Joshua, and in the history books, if you don't know, you have to read your Old Testament. But Jericho was finally destroyed, and they never rebuilt it again. But they did want Jericho to exist. So you know what they did? They walked another 2-3 miles, and they built another Jericho right next to the old Jericho. And the archaeologists found this out, that there were actually two Jerichos, this old original Jericho, and then right next to it, they built the new Jericho that still exists today in that region. And so isn't it wonderful how the Bible is so accurate? Because Mark says they were coming to Jericho, and as they were going out of Jericho. Because Jesus made his journey to Jerusalem, we know what's going to happen in a week, right? He's going to go to Jerusalem, and he's going to be crucified. So he took this journey to Jerusalem, and he was going through Jericho, from the old Jericho to the new Jericho. And there was this man there that was begging. And Luke is the one that tells us that he asks, what is going on? What is happening? And Mark says in verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48, the same thing that Luke and Matthew say, and many were sternly telling him to be quiet. You know what the Greek says here. It doesn't say be quiet. It says shut up. It's wonderful that when you read in another language, in the Russian and Ukrainian, they say shut up. They don't use the word for quiet. They use the accurate word. But here we're a little more tender, but we see that word sternly. They sternly said, be quiet. Well, they were telling him to shut up. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And verse 49, a very key point, brothers and sisters. And Jesus stopped Every one of the gospel writers say Jesus stopped. He was passing by on his way to Jerusalem, but he stopped. And he said, call him here. This is only in the Gospel of Mark. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, arise, don't be afraid. He's calling for you. Do you see how fickle this crowd is? They were telling him to shut up just a couple seconds ago, and now they're saying, don't be afraid, take courage, get up and go to Jesus. Sometimes we're this way too, aren't we? Sometimes we want people to get cleaned up before they come to church. You get rid of those piercings and hide those tattoos and do something with that colored hair before you come to our church. And then Jesus will call you. Oh, Jesus is calling him already. That man repented in the rehab center. That man repented on the street. Oh, praise God. And then they get cleaned up. See how fickle sometimes we are? Just like this crowd. And look at verse 15. Only in the Gospel of Mark. And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Each one of the Gospels gives us a characteristic of the Messiah. And I can't fully share with you and prove to you, but Matthew talks about Messiah as king. Mark talks about Messiah as a servant, Luke as the ideal or perfect man, and John as the ideal or God himself. And so Mark is trying to show us that Jesus is a servant, and he's helping those who need his help because they're servants also. You see here, Bartimaeus is begging. He needs help. He needs somebody to serve him. And it says he cast aside his cloak. He jumped up and came to Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, think about this. The friend is sitting there, but Bartimaeus gets up and jumps up and goes to Jesus. He's blind. It doesn't tell us that anybody helped him. Think about the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Bartimaeus heard that voice. When he said, call him to me, he knew where that voice was coming from. He knew that that was the voice of Messiah. And he took off his old coat, got up, and it says jumped up. The King James said arised, and sometimes the translations in the foreign languages also don't give the Greek word. He jumped up, and he went to Jesus. Jesus said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want to regain my sight. But notice in Mark, and it's been proven that he doesn't say teacher, but he says Rabboni, not just rabbi, but Rabboni. That's not just teacher, it's master. It's a more personable or a more closer word. It's a word that shows intimate fellowship. He's not wearing a mask. He's not talking on the computer through a Zoom meeting. He's face to face with his master. And it kind of shares with us what's happening in his heart. He says, I want to regain my sight. Verse 52, Jesus says, go your way. Your faith has saved you, has made you well. And I like saved you. I don't know why the translations changed it to made you well, because his faith saved him. He repented. And then only Mark says, immediately he regained his sight and began following him. On the road. On the road. Go back to verse 46. Bartimaeus was sitting by the road. But did he stay there? Did he go back to that place of sitting? No. He began following Jesus on the road or on the pathway to Jerusalem. And a week later, maybe Bartimaeus was there at the cross of Christ. Maybe he saw with his own eyes that Jesus was crucified, died for him. And just like the disciples didn't understand until Jesus was resurrected. Now I give you this story because I want to remind you what is happening in the world. Why we have missionaries. Why we are worshiping God right now here in church. Because it tells us in all three Gospels, Jesus was passing by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Jesus was passing by. And Bartimaeus heard this commotion and said, what is happening? What is happening? My life is not the greatest. I'm having problems. I can't see. I don't know what to do. I don't have any money. Life is not the greatest. What's going on? Jesus is passing by. I know he's the Messiah. I know he's the Son of David. I heard about his miracles. I heard about his words. Jesus, have mercy on me. Has Jesus passed by in your life? And have you cried out, Jesus, have mercy on me? Because remember I told you, each one of those Gospels gives us those wonderful words, verse 49, and Jesus stopped. I'm so glad that Jesus stopped in my life when I cried out, have mercy on me, like Bartimaeus. Because he was passing by and I didn't know what to do. My life was not going the right way. I was not serving a God. I believed in a God, but I was not giving him my life. I was not serving him. I was not obeying him. Oh, I was going to church, but it was all ritual. And things were not right. And when Jesus passed by, I said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And then what does Jesus say to Bartimaeus? Call him to me. They say, take courage, arise, he's calling you. And he throws off that old coat because he knows he has a chance to see. He knows he has a chance for a new life. He knows that Jesus can help him. And he goes to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do? Did Jesus ask that question to you, brothers and sisters, when you cried out for help? What do you want me to do? Bartimaeus said, I want to see. I said the same thing when I cried out to God. I want to know what is the right way to live. I want all of these problems and the sin and this rotten way of living gone. Can you help me, Jesus? I want to see. I want to know which direction to go. I want to know what to do with my life. And just like with Bartimaeus, Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has saved you. I'm so glad he answered my prayer. And I'm wondering if he answered your prayer. And I hope he did, everyone here that's in the congregation. I hope that Jesus passed by in your life. And you said, what's going on? What's going on? And you found out that it was Jesus. And you knew that he was the only answer to your life. He was the only one that can help you. Maybe some of you were not as corrupt as others. Maybe you were good boys or good girls. But you knew something was wrong. You knew something was missing in your heart. And you knew that mom and dad couldn't just help you. Friends couldn't help you. And you wanted to go the right direction. And you wanted to be right. And so you cried out. Praise God, Jesus stopped. He didn't keep going. That's why we share the Word of God to people on the streets in Phoenixville. That's why we share the Word of God in Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova. while other missionaries work in China and India and New York City and Florida and Canada throughout the world. Because brothers and sisters, Jesus is passing by. And he's the only one that has the answers. And we pray that people will cry out so that he'll stop. Because if they don't cry out, he's going to keep going. Because he sees that they have no time for him. Oh, but thank the Lord Bartimaeus had time. What is happening? Jesus is passing by. What are you doing? Are you crying out to him? Did Jesus stop in your life? Did he ask you, brother, sister, child, what do you want me to do? Did you tell him? Did you ask him? I want to see. Because he'll answer your prayer. I'm so glad he answered my prayer. And if you told me after I was saved that I would be a missionary and I would go to Russia and Ukraine and Belarus and Moldova, I didn't even know the language. All I knew was English. I knew my heritage was Slavic. But if you told me, I would say, you are crazy. There is something wrong with you. Oh, but that's what Jesus wanted. Because you know what happened? I threw off my old jacket. I threw off that old life of drugs and alcohol and looking at everybody and anybody the wrong way and wanting the wrong things. And I followed Jesus. And today, I'm following Jesus. And tomorrow, I'm following Jesus. And until he comes, you know what I'm going to do. Is that what you're doing, brothers and sisters? Are you following Jesus? We're going through a hard time now, not only here in America, but throughout the world. Let's not be concentrating and concerned about masks. Let's still concentrate on Jesus. He's coming for us. Yes, we have to go along with the world. Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. But we still don't forget why we're still here. Give them Jesus because he wants to stop in people's life. There's still people that need to join the church. It's not complete. If it was complete, we would be home with the head. The body would be in heaven. So we have to pray, we have to support, and we have to witness. And we have to be good examples in good times and in bad times. What do you want me to do? Jesus asks us. I want to see, Lord, what you have for us in the future. And until you come, I want to keep following you on the road. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for these gospel writers and how the Holy Spirit moved them to share to us words that can only have come from you. And I thank you so much for this story of Bartimaeus. I thank you for his faith and his witness. I thank you that he followed you. And I pray for each member here in the congregation, Lord, if there's someone has not heard you passing by, may this be the day that you pass by. They say, have mercy, and Lord, let you stop in their life. That's what we want to happen, Lord. We want people to know your Son, Jesus. And then we want them to follow you like we're following. Help us, Lord, to be faithful sons and daughters because we want to hear those words one day when we see you face to face. Well done, good and faithful servants. We love you and we trust you. And until you return for us, help us to to be faithful. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.